Now, what does Jude say about Enoch? Seventh from Adam. Is he the seventh from Adam?
Yeah,
but if you would say from Adam, you would typically not include the person you were talking about, right? So I would say he's the sixth from Adam, not the seventh from Adam. Kathy's looking at me askance. Okay. Now. Wait. Okay. What is the next assignment on the study sheets? Okay, so let's remember this, okay? We got that? Because I'm going to erase this. Okay. Okay, so what does it say? Okay. Yeah, compare the genealogies in Genesis 10 and Luke 3. So let's go to Genesis 10. Okay. We're going to go over to Luke 3. Okay. So we're going to go backwards from there. So if we go over to Luke 3, we can see that they are in reverse order. So go to Luke 3, right at the end of Luke 3. Keep your finger in Genesis 10. Now, we're going to have to do some reading in Genesis 10 to get some comparisons going. But notice in Luke 3, verse 23, it says, Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mathath, the son of Levi, etc. See how it goes like that? And ultimately goes all the way back to Adam, the son of God. So we see how the genealogy is backwards there. It does not start with the oldest, but starts with the most recent and goes backwards. Okay? Yeah, Luke 3:23. Okay? See, and it goes all the way to verse 38. Okay? So we're just going to work backwards in the Luke passage through here. Okay? And we're going to compare that with in Genesis 10. Okay? So, well, John, what are we doing here? Well, we're going to spend a little bit of time. Okay? So, we're going to see... notice that, keep your finger there in Luke 3 and go back to Genesis 10. Now, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah. Ham, Shem, and Japheth, the sons of, have been born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elashath, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. And from these, the coastal people of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to their language, according to the families, into their nations. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan. Any of you know what Mitzrayim is? It's Egypt. Okay? And notice that the Hebrew word ends in I-M, Mitzrayim. What does that tell you? It's a plural. Mitzrayim. Okay? Like Elohim, the I am at the word Elohim, that's plural. Okay. Now, some people think that because Egypt was really a combination of two countries called Upper Egypt and Lower Egypt, that that's perhaps where the name came from, Mitzrayim. Okay. Anyway, so we got Cush, Mitzrayim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Ramah, and Sabtikon, and the sons of Ramah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod, and he became to a mighty man, one of the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it was said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. Any of you ever heard of a hunting club called the Nimrods? There are people that do that. They have hunting clubs. Or they call hunters sometimes Nimrods. Okay, that's where it comes from. Okay. In the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calna, and the land of Shinar. And the land... And from that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Ir, Calah, and Rezin became between Nineveh and Calah, which, that is the principal city. Mitzrayim begot Ludim, Anahim, Lebhan, Nephtuhim, Parushim, and Kashuhim, from whom came the Philistines and Kaphtorim. So where are these people, the Philistines and the Kaphtorim, where did they live? The coastal lands just at the east end of the Mediterranean, right? That's where the Philistines were. And Canaan begot Sidon and his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite. Who were the Jebusites? They're the ones who lived in Jebus. Jebus changed its name to Jerusalem. Yeah, okay. So these are the people that were the founding people of the city of Jerusalem. The Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite, the Arvadite, and the Zemarite, and the Hamathite. Afterwards, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed, and the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon as you go toward Gerar and as far as Gaza. Isn't it interesting that the land of Gaza is still called the land of Gaza? Then as you go toward Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha, these are the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their language and their lands and the nations. The children were born, to Shem, the father of the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad began Salah, and Salah begot Eber. And to Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days the earth was divided. What does that mean? You ever heard of continental drift? Yeah. You all know continental drift theory? That the continents used to be closer and then have moved around? Like, you know how South America looks like sort of it mates with Africa? Okay. Some people think perhaps that is continental drift. Yeah, perhaps so. Okay. And I lost myself. Okay. 26. Joktan begot Almohadad, Shelef, and Hazarmaveth. You have problems with these names? I do too. And Jera, and Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, and Obaal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Joab. All these are the sons of Joktan, and their dwelling place was from Mesha. As you go toward Sephar, the mountains of the east, these are the sons of Shem, according to the families, according to the languages of their lands, according to the nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah, according to the generations of the nations, and from these, all the nations were divided on the earth after the floods. Okay. And let's keep going. Okay. We have the story of the Tower of Babel. And then we have, this is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100, verse 10 of chapter 11. Okay. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And after he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and he begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad was 35 years old and begot Salah. And after he begot Salah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Salah lived 30 years and begot Eber. And he begot Eber. After he begot Eber, Salah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years and begot Peleg. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. And after he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begot Serug. After he begot Serug, Reu lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and he begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and he begot sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. And after he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years. And after he begot sons and daughters, now Terah lived 70 years and he begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, or Haran. Kind of rough, huh? This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abraham, etc. Now, what we're going to do is let's compare Luke 3 and Genesis, okay? And I think we really want to look at Genesis 11, not Genesis 10. I think I made a mistake. So let's go over to Luke 3. Let's see. And if we go to Yeah, there we go. So in verse 34 of Luke 3, we have, you know, we have Jacob, we have Isaac, we have Abraham, the son of Terah, the son of Nahor. So let's start here, and let's see. And we'll see if we can start at the bottom. We've got Abraham. And who was his father?
Terah.
And who was his father?
Nahor.
N-A-H-O-R?
Uh-huh.
Okay, and his father?
Sarah.
S-E...
R-U-G.
Sarug. Okay, and his father?
Ru.
R-E-U? Okay.
Peleg.
Keep going.
Heber or Heber.
Heber, probably. There was an OP missionary, that was his name, first name. Remember that? Heber McElwain. He was a missionary. He and his wife were missionaries to Japan for years, starting in the 50s. 50s and 60s. Okay, and his father?
Sheila.
Shela. C-L-A-H?
S-H-E-L-A-H.
S-H-E-L-A-H. Okay, and his?
Canaan.
C-A-I-N-A-N. And his?
Arphaxad. A-R-P-H. A-X-A-D.
A-X-A-D. Arphaxad. Okay, and his?
Shem.
Noah, right?
Noah.
Okay.
And where did you get that genealogy? Which of these two passages are?
Luke 3.
11?
Okay, this is Luke. This is Luke, right? Luke 3. Okay. Okay, so we got Luke. Okay. So let's go over to Genesis 11. I think it's the parallel. Is that right? Okay. So if we go there...
Okay.
So we can start at 26 and go. We have Abraham, is that right?
Yes.
So we're in Genesis 11, Abraham. And who is his father?
Terah.
And his father?
Nahor.
And his?
Sarug.
S-E-R-U-G, right? Okay.
R-U.
R-E-U.
R-E-U.
R-E-U. Okay, his father?
Peleg.
His?
Eber.
H-E-B-E-R?
Just E-B-E-R, mine, but that's...
Okay, yeah. Okay. Okay. Either with or without the H. Okay. And let's go. And his father?
Sheila.
S-H-E-L-A-H. Okay, his father? Okay. His father?
Shem.
And then Noah?
Noah.
What?
Fast. That's a Canaan.
What?
Canaan.
One. Did I miss one? Did you?
Yeah. No, but there's one different between the two of them.
Oh, isn't that a surprise? Three, four.
That the Bible is not inerrant.
Five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11. Is that right? Okay, so let's start over here. And we got one, two, three, four. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Who's missing over here?
Canaan.
And he belongs
after
Arphaxad and before Shelah. So there's somebody that belongs right here. Is that right? Okay. So we got that? See that? Now, given this, you got a couple conclusions you can make. One is the conclusion that Ray made, and that is that the Bible is full of errors. Well, not full of, it's got errors, right? That was your conclusion, right?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like
me. Okay. Now, And there are other possible conclusions. Moses was wrong and Luke is right. Or how about...
Luke was wrong.
Luke was wrong, Moses was right. Or how about something else? You got another idea?
Moses is left wrong.
Let's be precise. The idea of father of could be multi-generational statement. Okay, and that's used other times, right? Sometimes even the term, oh, my father, is used in scripture for somebody who's not the biological father at all, to a king or something like that, right? So what my point is, I think it is safe to say there's a gap here in this one, out of Genesis 11. Is that right? There's a gap here? Now, I want to speculate just a bit. And seriously, you know, I don't like to speculate about scripture. But I want to speculate. There might be other gaps here in this list. That both of these can have a gap. Is that right? Okay. Now, have you ever looked at the genealogy in Matthew of Jesus? You know, it's interesting when you look at that one. It's 14 generations and 14 generations and 14 generations. And there's some gaps in there, if I remember right. Why? Because Matthew was just trying to show something nice and smooth. And the whole concept that we have as 21st century Westerners about it has to literally be this because of our view of history and things like that, I don't think they have. Okay. Now, if there is a known gap right here, can we say that language, a known gap right here? Could there be a gap back in the one we read in Genesis 5 that we don't know about? Okay? So could that be? You know the one that we had, we went from Adam, you know, all the way up to Noah, and that's the one that included Enoch? Okay? So could there be a gap between Adam and Enoch? The answer is yes, there could be. We don't know that there is, but there might have been one, there might not have been one. Do you agree? Okay. Now, I got a lot of goals in this. One of my goals is for us to do some comparisons. You may have heard people say there are no gaps in the genealogy. I have heard people say that. What did we just prove? There's a gap. Okay? Okay. The second thing we proved is, you know what? We did all of this, and you could do all of this with a piece of paper and a pen and an English Bible. Right? Okay? You don't have to be a seminary graduate knowing Hebrew and Greek and studied for lots of years to do this kind of stuff. Right? You agree, you disagree, you wonder where I'm going? Here's where I'm going. Y'all ever heard of the Bereans? What do we know about the Bereans? More noble than the others. Why?
The scriptures.
Yeah. Now the Bereans probably were able to read New Testament writings in Greek. Right? And some of them might have been able to read Hebrew. We don't know. But you know what? What made them noble was that they were serious about the Word of God. And we need to be serious about the Word of God. Do you agree? Okay. Here's my point. I'll get to you in a second. Don't be suckered in when the person with lots of letters after his name says something. Always hold his feet to the fire. Now, I'm not trying to denigrate education. You all know that. You know me well enough, okay? But my point is, this is stuff that we can do with a piece of paper and a pen and an English Bible, and we can do some pretty serious stuff. Okay? Yeah, John. Sitting in the back again where you don't belong.
Well, the interesting part about the Bereans is the fact not that they just studied, but they were open to hearing different ideas, but then they searched diligently the scriptures to prove that those things that were being said were true.
Exactly.
So they didn't just accept, they didn't deny everything and just...
That's right. They weren't close-minded.
Not close-minded, but then they proved it. They weren't just gullible and just like the people that... Judas writing to
him,
accepting all.
That's right. Okay? And I've used this analogy, and I'm going to use it again right now. You do not want to be like when I was talking with the Christian Reform folk years ago when we used to attend a Christian Reform. I don't have to worry about this guy because he went to Calvin Seminary. And by therefore, everything he says is right, and I don't have to worry about that. Okay? Now, y'all know where Calvin Seminary is today. It is loaded with problems. Okay? You know that the OPC broke off relations with the Christian Reformed Church. We did it. We initiated the break off. Why? Because of things they were doing that were unfaithful to Scripture. Okay, and we said no, and we told them we don't like to do this, please repent. They still didn't. So finally said we're cutting relationships off. The kind of relationship we have with the PCA, we used to have with the Christian Reformed Church. And if you know the history of the OPC, we had close relations with the CRs for years and years and years. Okay? But my point is, just because somebody went to seminary doesn't make him automatically right. I know graduates of Reformed seminaries who are now Roman Catholic priests or Russian Orthodox priests. Okay? Pretty interesting. Or Roman Catholic professors, that type of thing. Okay? In the Roman Church. And those, I know of one who is a Russian Orthodox priest up in Riverside. So, any questions about this? Yes?
I've always had a theory.
Yes?
God does this on purpose. To make the wise foolish and the foolish wise.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Make a mistake.
Right.
And it's amazing how all these wise people can find Scripture so wrong because of something like as simple right. as this.
So this gap that's here is intentional from the Holy Spirit. That's what you're telling us.
So that you have to live by faith.
Yeah.
You have to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you say Gordon became a priest?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I know God. I'll tell you why I know this.
Educated him.
Okay, I'll tell you why I know this. This is a little personal, but I'll be personal. I'm the oldest of five children. The youngest of the siblings is my sister, one of my sisters. She's married to a man who used to be, he and my sister were members of an OP church in this presbytery. He then became a Lutheran Missouri Synod minister, went to Lutheran Missouri Synod Seminary, and then they went to the Russian Orthodox Church, lived back east. Their youngest son married a girl who is the daughter of a Russian Orthodox minister. We went to the wedding.
Okay? This
was my nephew. Married the daughter of a Russian Orthodox priest. We went to the wedding. The church was up in Riverside. The building that we went to was up in Riverside. So we went to my nephew's wedding. One of the priests that conducted the service was the, we would say, the pastor of that church, that congregation that met in that building. He is a graduate of Escondido. Okay. Of Escondido.
Westminster Escondido.
Mm-hmm. Okay? So my point is, just because you got letters after your name doesn't mean you're right. And I got lots of letters after my name. I'm not against education. But we need to be Berean. In fact, I was telling Diane, maybe we ought to change the name of our Sunday school class to the Bereans or something like that. Okay? Okay? Because we want to, you know, what did John say? Open to ideas and examining all of them from the Word of God. Right? That's what we want to be. Okay? So one of my goals is for you to be able to do this with a piece of paper and a pen and a Bible. Any questions? No. Let's relate this back to Jude, because that's really what we're studying is Jude, right? Okay? So let's go back to Jude. And what does this tell us? Maybe the answer is, when Jude says that Enoch is this the seventh from Adam. Yeah, maybe there was a gap. Okay, maybe there was a gap in the Genesis 5 genealogy. Okay? That's what I'm getting at. Any questions?
So is it also possible that he's seven starting from Adam? Like,
yeah, that's the other possible answer, that if you include Adam, then that would be the seventh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And does the Greek allow that, like for that understanding?
The people that write about Jude have got to deal with that issue. Now, prophesied he, even this one, the seventh from Adam, Enoch, said. That's the literal word order, okay? We got to put it into good English, okay? But that's what it says. The seventh from Adam. This one, the seventh from Adam. From. The word, the preposition is just the word from, okay? That, to me, the word doesn't mean included. Maybe it does. Everybody's got to deal with that, and that's a common answer, is that including Adam, he's the seventh. I want to say that, or maybe there was a gap in Genesis 5 that we don't know about. Because we've shown there's one here that we do know about. Okay, so what are we getting at? The point here is we don't quite know what Enoch is saying. Okay, so it could be one way or the other. We don't have any problems with it. Okay? We still haven't dealt with the tough part of this passage. Okay? Here we go. Here's the next handouts. Mr. Plebiak, if you would, please. And ask that young guy sitting right behind you to help, please.
Hey, John, while he's passing those out, mm-hmm. One of the things that struck me, I never thought about this, but you have, through this process, grandparents living longer than their grandchildren.
Yes. Isn't that interesting?
You don't think in terms of doing the math. But
yes. Okay. And if you do a couple things interesting, did you notice here that these people had children earlier than the previous ones?
Yeah.
Okay, they had children earlier and they didn't live anywhere near as long.
Right.
You know the answer why? A lot of people think that before Noah's flood, before the flood, there was a cloud layer over the earth and it sort of stopped or some of the sun rays and things like that, people live longer. That's what some people think. Okay? Also, I'll get you a sec. If we go back here to the one in Genesis 5, we go to that, it looks like it's possible that Methuselah treaded water for a while during the flood. Okay? Seriously. If you add up all the years, Methuselah died the year of the flood. Okay? So what are you laughing at? Okay. If you look at those numbers, okay. Now, y'all know who Bishop Usher was? Okay. Who was Bishop Usher?
Counted up all, went through the. I was actually going there. Going through all those and determining the age there.
That's right. He came up with the Earth was created when? Wasn't it 4004 BC? Was that right? Is that what Bishop Usher? So it's about 6,000 years ago, okay? Now, who was Bishop Usher? He was an Anglican bishop, not Roman Catholic, Anglican bishop in Ireland. I don't know if it was Northern Ireland or Southern Ireland, okay? But there, okay? And he was a believer, apparently, and he did all of this kind of work, okay? And added all the years up and came up with the date. I want to say that given what we know right here, that there could have been other gaps. So I don't want to trust Bishop Usher's number. Yes, sure.
How big those gaps? I'm wondering how big those gaps might be if that really is a tectonic plate theory in between.
Don't know. Yeah.
That would be a very short time, it seems like, for the Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not real impressed with the Earth is billions and billions of years old. I'm just not real impressed with that. I have no problems with God making the Earth with apparent age. Y'all know what I mean by that? Yeah. How old was Adam when he, you know, on his third day? He was 3 days old. How old did Adam look? Did he look 3 days old? No, I picture him about 20. He looked about 25. That, you know, something like that, right? I don't know, something like that. When Adam looked up, could he see a star? If except with the clouds. If so, the closest star is how many light years away?
Four
light years away, right? That means the light God made. If Adam could have seen the stars, then God made the earth not only with the star there that's four light years away, but the light was in transit. Right? So if he looked up and saw it. If Adam would have cut down a tree, would there have been rings in the tree?
Good question.
Yeah. There's a book, gosh, 20 plus years ago, D. Russell Humphreys, called Starlight and Time.
Yeah?
Through some of the other theories people came up with. Some wacky ones like Fremont Space that they've been discredited. But you go back to the scriptures and he points out about stretched out the heavens like an expanse. We spread that. And so he actually went through some of these relativity calculations, not calculations, but at least some of the basic principles of them, and showed that if you go to the scriptures first instead of trying to reconcile things, the way God can do this and still have things be suddenly far away, I mean, it's in his power. He can exceed whatever.
So he could have done that.
Yeah, and the evidence now is whatever radio waves or whatever dead space are collecting, they think these things are speeding up now. That doesn't mean they were a lot slower before. They could have gone very fast in the first few hours.
Yeah.
And then slowed down, and then they speed up again. And we see many things like that in nature that have kind of a median point.
Right.
So those are all consistent with the scriptures.
Sure.
Did this in a moment and in the spoken word.
So if carbon-14 dating works, how does it work? The half-life of carbon, right? And they know how much? Could God have made things with some of the items partially have decayed?
Well, the other thing is that where does it say how long Adam walked with God?
Yep.
It doesn't say it anywhere. We're all of the assumption that the next day Eve sinned.
Yeah.
It doesn't say
text that. Never says
he
that.
He could have walked with God a billion years.
Yeah. We have no idea how long that was.
They didn't have children.
What?
Okay. They didn't have children.
But they were perfect. They got children to make children. So it seems like it had to be short. Otherwise, God wouldn't even have children.
Yeah. Ray's point is we just don't know. Okay. Now I don't want us to get too distracted. Okay. My point in this is besides dealing with Kathy's really laughing. Is now my point is not only to deal with Book of Jude, but seriously, dear people, you got everything you need to become an expert in the Word of God. What do you need? You need a Bible in your language, you need a piece of paper, you need a pen, and you need the Holy Spirit. Which of those do you not have? Diane, you're missing one? You have a husband.
You said a good translation.
Yes, you need a good translation. Okay? Yeah, you need a good translation. The Living Bible doesn't cut it. Okay? The New International Version doesn't cut it. Okay, not for serious Bible study. They're okay for some things, but not for serious Bible study. Okay. Okay. Any other questions about this? Okay, let's get to Jude.
Sorry, I'm here.
That'll be where you get the Jude, John.
Just give us the trailers.
Not the trailer? I gave you the handouts. Give me those handouts back. Here's the trailer. Notice that. Who was in it? Okay, there. From where does Jude quote? Do y'all know?
The Book of Enoch.
The Book of First Enoch, which was an apocryphal book that was fairly well known in Jude's time. Okay? We have found copies of pieces of it in Hebrew. Okay? What is the potential issue that we see here? The issue is, what does Jude say about Enoch? What's the verb? He
prophesied.
He quotes an apocryphal book and says, Enoch prophesied, and he quotes the book. That's the tough issue. Not the gaps, not the six from there. That's the tough issue. Okay? Is the book of First Enoch the Word of God? Or is a piece of it the Word of God? Or did Enoch really say this? You know, is this one quote in the book of First Enoch really from the Enoch? Because he tells us which Enoch he's talking about, right? Seventh from Adam. He's not talking about some modern character of his days. He's making a reference to this Old Testament character. Okay, the person there. That's the real tough issue that we have. And then notice where we're going. And there's the alarm. Okay. Okay, we're going to get into some eschatology. Okay? Because notice that Jude makes a prophecy about eschatology. Right? And I want to ask you this question. When the Lord comes and he's going to judge, how many judgments are there and who's he going to judge when? Because Jude helps us answer that question. So we're going to talk about the difference between pre-mill, post-mill, and all-mill. And we're going to see what does Jude have to say about the
hand-mill.
No, not about pan mill. It'll all pan out at the end. That's the Dutch position with the windmill. Okay? Now, okay, but seriously, that's the plan where we want to go. what are we going to get into a little eschatology, and we're going to compare Jude with Matthew with 1 Corinthians 15 and get into Revelation 20 a little bit. Okay, so you see on the back side of your handouts there that we're going to get into those. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have here in your word that is inerrant. And we know there are parts that are difficult for us to understand, Lord, but you give us the gifts to do that. We thank you that we have the word of God in our own language. We praise you for the people that have loved us generations later sometimes, but to give us your word in our language so we can read it, think about it, talk about it, discuss it, Lord, in worship you properly because of it. Hear us, we do pray, our God, in Jesus' name. Amen.